Isn't that something? That's what a great and loving Heavenly Father we have. I'd like for you to please turn to Romans chapter 1. We're going to consider some things regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're not going to look at it in great detail, the resurrection itself. But we're going to consider some things about that, the significance of the resurrection, his being the first fruits from the dead, the first begotten among many brethren. And it's actually, he's the first fruits offering, which we'll sort of take a brief look at. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is everything. And we'll see that in the Word. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we will be risen. Now that's a nice chunk. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. But because of that resurrection, we know that we will be risen. Because of the resurrection, he is Lord. He's the one that God promised would redeem mankind. He's the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. All of that is because of the resurrection. See? Because of the resurrection, death is defeated. The devil is defeated. All of that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, which is where I'd like to start, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, which was made, is how it should read, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared or marked out the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, referring to God who is holy, by the resurrection of from the dead of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how it reads. Isn't that something? From the resurrection from the dead. That is what marked Jesus Christ out as Lord. That's what marks Jesus Christ out as the Son of the living God. It's the resurrection. I want you to turn to 1 Peter, please. Chapter 1. First Peter. Let's start in verse 2 here. It says, elect in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us from above unto a living hope by way of the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from among the dead. By way of the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from among the dead. That is what has enable God to begot us from above unto a living hope. 1 Corinthians 15, we're not going to spend time there today, but there's a nice little chunk there in 1 Corinthians 15. It talks about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, then there is no resurrection. If Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, then nobody is raised. Nobody. Nobody will ever be raised if Jesus Christ isn't raised. And then we, of all men, are most to be pitied because we have been suckered into a hope that will only last during this pitiful little lifetime. It's a good thing the Bible doesn't end there. That's right. See, but he is risen from the dead. God raised him from the dead, and we have the proof of that. And because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, we will get up. We will be gathered together with Jesus Christ. We have the first fruits of that, the word says. That's one of the uses of first fruits. We have the first fruits in that we have Holy Spirit. Isn't that neat? That's the first fruits of what we have coming at the return of Jesus Christ because God got him up from the dead. See, it all hinges on that resurrection. In Romans 10, that's why it says, you confess him as Lord and you believe what? That God raised him from the dead. That God raised him from the dead. When you look in the book of Acts and you read in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5, look up the word resurrection sometime. It's really fun. Because that's what they're teaching, the resurrection. The resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead. The resurrection. The resurrection. Then they got really upset with them because they were teaching the resurrection. So you know what they did? They started teaching the resurrection again. It's God raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Without the resurrection, we might as well be Hindu.
Oh, man.
See? But it's that resurrection that marks Jesus Christ out as the Son of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to eternal life. There's no other. Because nobody else was raised from the dead, never to die again. See, that's what marked him out. That's the significance of that verse in Romans. And that's what makes it the gospel of God. Gospel of the living God. Not a dead God, not a false God, not a made-up God. But the gospel of the living God, and it concerns Jesus Christ. No other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved, because God got him up from the dead. I want you to turn, please, to Acts chapter 13. We're going to zip along here, but there's a couple of things I want to show you. In verse 32, it says, "And we declare unto you glad tidings," that's this gospel, "how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm," in Psalm 2, verse 7, "Thou art my son. This day have I" what?
Begotten.
"This day have I begotten thee." We're going to revisit this in a few minutes. But regarding that resurrection, "This day have I begotten thee." Turn, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 29. It says, "For whom he did foreknow," He also did predestinate, or determine beforehand, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, his Son, Jesus Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn among many brethren. Now I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Book of Colossians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 12. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or adequate or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness and hath translated or given us citizenship in the kingdom of his dear Son. We're talking about his dear Son. We know he's his Son because he was marked out by what?
Resurrection.
In whom, his dear Son, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Nothing owed. Totally released. Forgiveness. Total forgiveness. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every created being. Now this will be explained in a minute in verse 18. He's the firstborn of every created being. For by him, verse 16, we're referring to God, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In the Greek, this is a long-running sentence. I think Sam shared this at the Colossians weekend. In English, it is probably easier to look at verse 16 and 17 as a parenthetical phrase, referring back to God the Father, where we began in verse 12. Okay? So I want to reread verse 15. Regarding his Son, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every created being. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is a beginning, is the word does, who is a beginning, the firstborn out from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. See? Jesus Christ is the firstborn out from all created beings. He is a new creation, the firstborn. You understand? And he's the only one that's been raised from the dead. He's the only one that's been given the body that he's been given. Firstborn. See? Now, with these things in mind, let's go to Hebrews, please. And it's chapter 12, I think. There it is. We read this verse a few weeks ago, or this section, but this is drawing a comparison to when Moses went into the mount and lightning and thunders and Israel freaked out. And anyway. But in verse 22 it says, but you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly, or to a festive gathering. Isn't that neat? To a festive gathering and church of the firstborn, which are written, enrolled, registered in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The church of the firstborn. Well, who's the firstborn?
Jesus Christ.
And who's his church?
Us.
That's right. See, and we're registered in heaven because we are in Christ. Isn't that something? Who is the firstborn out from the dead? The first to have a body like his body. See? The first of a new creation. It's a new creation. Nothing like this had ever existed before. And he's above the angels, it says in Hebrews. And we're his church because of the resurrection. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. I want to look at something else here that's kind of neat. A lot of firsts. Firstborn, he is also the first fruits offering. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in verse 20, it says, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits offering of them that slept. He's the first fruits offering. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead or out from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits offering. He's the first fruits offering. Afterward, the harvest. They that are Christ that is coming. Now, I want you to turn to Leviticus. I want to show you something. And what this is referring to. It's sort of neat. Leviticus chapter 23. I must have done a fresh coffee spill on my Bible this morning. Huh. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak ye unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day, when you wave the sheaf and he lamb, without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Isn't that something? And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part, and hin. In case you don't know what a hin is, it's a hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. See? Now this would happen the Sabbath during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The day after the Sabbath is when this would take place, which you can see in its context if you go back to verse 1 of this chapter. So, they would bring the offering, the first fruits of the harvest. Okay? And the high priest would wave that before the Lord. In other words, he was the only one allowed into that area. And he would wave this sheaf before the Lord. Also an offering of a lamb of the first year. And it had to be done by the high priest. in Hebrews chapter 5. I think it is. I don't know if I wrote this one down. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Yes, I'm betting 1,000 this morning. This is regarding the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to take time to look at it, but that he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And in verse 5 it says, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." God made him high priest by resurrecting him from the dead. "This day have I begotten thee." And he said also in another place, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." See, Jesus Christ, when he was raised from the dead, was high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See? Now, if you'll turn, and we're almost done here, but I want you to turn to the Gospel of John. It's just beautiful to see the tapestry of the Word here. You know, the last words spoken by Jesus Christ at his crucifixion were, "It is finished." And the first words spoken that are recorded in his resurrected body were, "Why are you weeping?" Isn't that something? John chapter 20, verse 10. Mary was the first that Jesus Christ, that is recorded, showed himself to. We're going to start in verse 11. Mary had been to the sepulcher earlier that morning while it was dark with Joanna and somebody else. There were three of them. And when they got there, the stone was rolled away. And they saw an angel. And the angel said, "Why seek the living among the dead? He's risen." And so the women left. And they went back and told the disciples. Well, Peter and another disciple got on that one. And they ran to the sepulcher. And when they got to the sepulcher, they saw the linen clothes folded and so on. But they didn't see the Lord. At some point, Mary went back by herself and to gaze at the sepulcher, at the empty tomb, and she was weeping. She was crying. And in verse 10, it says, or verse 11, Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and saw two angels. You know, when you put these records together, there was quite a tour of angels. Some. I imagine, this was the fulfilling of, and this was it, the resurrection. And I imagine there was a long line of angels. Anyway, saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said unto them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." And Jesus said unto her, "Mary." And she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Isn't that something? What a moment that must have been. You know, and whenever I read this record, I just think of the heart of God. You know, the first one he shows himself to is Mary. Mary. Isn't that awesome? The next appearance were to the two men on the road to Emmaus. So it was Mary, and then Cleopas and the other man, whoever he was, he's not named, on the road to Emmaus. And then sometime between the time he showed himself to the 11 that evening, Peter saw him. And then he showed himself to the 11. Thomas wasn't there. Judas was. Anyway. And Jesus said unto her, verse 17, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." See? The ascending that he's talking about, of course, isn't his ascension. He didn't ascend until some 40 days later. But it's the ascension into the temple. And Jesus Christ, as high priest, would offer himself rather than the first fruits of the wheat harvest, the winter wheat harvest, he would offer himself as the first fruits from the dead, as high priest, and as a lamb of the first year, without spot or blemish. Isn't that something? See? Isn't that beautiful how that word, it's just thrilling to see, you know, how all of this stuff pointed to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter 3 and then we're going to wrap up here. Deb and I were watching something the other night on TV and they did this random interview thing. I think it was in New York City. And they asked people regarding Easter. And out of however many, there were many, there were two girls who knew it had to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nobody else knew. Nobody. One girl even said it was the time where Jesus invented the bunny rabbit. I'm serious. She was serious. You know, it's so easy to take for granted what we know and what we have. The greatest thing we can do is to speak God's word and to make this known. And to hell with what people think. Just walk in love and speak it. Because they don't know. They don't know. Sometimes that's hard to believe. You know, sitting in my shoes or you sitting in your shoes, that people don't know this. They really don't. The world has done a masterful job of hiding what God has wrought in Christ. And we can take the cover off by walking in love, by walking by the Spirit, and by speaking God's word. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, it's talking about the time in the days of Noah. They waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, in verse 20, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved. The like figure, it's actually antitype, is the Greek. The antitype, whereunto baptism does also now save us. Like the ark saved those eight, baptism doth now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. See? That baptism that does save us by the resurrection from the dead. What baptism? What baptism?
Holy Spirit.
That's right. Holy Spirit baptized into his death. See? Look at Romans chapter 6. All because of the resurrection. Verse 3, Romans 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, because of this, we are or were buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Which is that life that is talked about in Romans 5. Where righteousness reigns, not sin. Because we're dead. We're dead. We're not servants of the sin anymore. We can't be. Because we're dead. We have an option. We have life born within. We're free. So we walk in newness of life as if we're resurrected. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ, when he was resurrected, that was it. Did he have to deal with sin anymore? Did he have to deal with the temptations anymore? Did he have to deal with death? Did he have to deal with subjecting himself to the powers of darkness? No. He was free. Amen. Resurrection. Isn't that something? Even so, we walk in what? Right. And the start of doing that is to reckon ourselves dead unto sin. That's where it starts. We see ourselves as God sees us. Because we're in Christ. Church of the firstborn. That's something? What a God, huh? Hey, let's close in Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 15 it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your believing in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention in my prayers, is how it reads, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding or of your heart being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. That you may know and know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. That you may know. And that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, or literally his ability to prevail, which he wrought in Christ when he what?
Raised
him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named. You know, God didn't just raise Jesus Christ from the dead. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And then he, God, made things subject unto Jesus Christ. Understand? God gave Jesus Christ authority over the powers of darkness. God gave Jesus Christ authority over the devil. God made the angels subject to Jesus Christ. God did all that. That's the power that he wrought, the authority that he had, and gave to Jesus Christ. That's something. Because he resurrected him from the dead. And we are in him.
That's how we see ourselves. That's how we see one another. Okay? So happy Easter.
Oh, man.